UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There are 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And there was anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There are 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Mercury 295. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Same airplanes.
Howdy, dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
You're listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. I'm your host, Nick Hunter, and welcome to the first show of 2020, wherever in the universe you're listening from tonight. In a moment, we have Kevin Briggs, an ex-British police officer who now lives in Florida. Kevin is an experiencer of 57 years, and he is going to be sharing his contact and the ET presence here on Earth. But first, we have great news regarding the show's merchandise. We have now partnered with the guys over at conspiracytees.com. If you head over there and under Conspiracy Podcasts, you can find my page, or down below, the link in the description. And on all items, a percentage of the proceeds gets donated to a charity close to my heart, and that's the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Pick yourself a great t-shirt and support a very worthy cause. And finally, if you enjoy the show and would like to support the podcast, consider becoming a patron at www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. Now, on with the show. I would like to welcome Kevin Briggs to the show.
Hi, Nick. Thank you for inviting me on your show. I do appreciate it. I like talking about my experiences now and people like yourself helping me get the message out there. Thank you for inviting me.
I really appreciate you coming on today. Now, you first had contact with ETs at the age of 8 years old. Would you like to start there for us, Kevin, please?
That's correct. I was first contacted when I was 8 years old. But before that, I had an experience when I was 3 years old. I would explain that first because that then leads into the contact when I was eight. And when I was 3 years old, my mother had engaged a photographer to take some photographs for the family album. And the photographer came, I was usually washed and had my hair brushed. And the photographer lifted me up onto the oak dining table. And from that elevated position, not only did I get a better view of the room, but at that point in time, I realized I was conscious again in a physical body. And that was quite an amazing thought. And I remember when I told that story to my wife, she said, 3-year-olds don't understand consciousness and they don't use words like that. Well, I did. And I said that was at 3 years of age. And that was really the beginning of my journey. And then the actual ET contact itself, you are correct. I was 8 years old. I was actually having a weekly bath as we did in those days. And the rest of the time we were sponged down with soap and water. And I was having this bath. And as a young child, I always had I was always able to feel the different vibrational frequencies around where I was. And on this occasion, there was a change in the frequency in the bathroom and a change in temperature as well. And I was able to pick up on that. And I looked to my right-hand side, and there were two beings there, slightly elevated off the floor. both very attractive, one male, one female, both wearing a tight-fitting blue jumpsuit. They both had long blonde hair down to the shoulders and deep blue eyes, and I say very, very attractive. They were speaking to one another telepathically, which I could understand. And I was frightened to death, as you can imagine, as an eight-year-old, two beings materialising in your bathroom. And I remember part of the conversation, the male, I now know his name, Art, the female was Dee, and Dee said to the male, "Is this a boy?" And Art said, "Yes, it is." And then she said, "Are you sure this is a boy?" And then he said, "Yes, this is a boy." And then she said, "But look at him, he's small, he's uneducated, and he's frightened by our presence." And she was right, I was terrified. And he said, "No, this is a boy, I will guide him, I will teach him." There were some other conversation within that, but I think I was that terrified I couldn't remember that bit. And they were there for a few more minutes, and then they disappeared. There's no actual interaction with me, no communication with me, other than the fact that I could understand their telepathic communication between the two of them. So that was the beginning of my journey at the age of eight. My mother came into the bathroom. I'd stayed in the bathroom for, the water went cold. I don't know how long it was. I was shivering and I was so frightened I didn't get out of the bath. My mother came in to find out where I was, and I told her about the two beings, and she said it was just my imagination. It wasn't. That was the start of a lifelong contact. And as I say, now I'm 65 and it continues to this day. Now, the next part of the interaction would be I was 9 years old. And what happened then, I was, I'd been playing with some friends. It was a Sunday, I remember the day. And my friends left. It was tea time. They were going home for tea. I came back into the house after seeing them out the back door. And I saw I felt a vibration in the room again, a vibration in the house. So I went looking to see who I could see, who was there. I went upstairs, went to the bedrooms, down in the kitchen, and back into the living room where the noise was, or the vibration was strongest. I looked behind the curtain and there was an orb there. It was an orange 4 to 6 inch in colour and it was slightly vibrated. There was no communication at the time and it just stayed there. I was concerned that if my mother saw it, I might get into trouble because I felt that I'd invited it into the home. And I thought, oh, well, it'll disappear later on. I went to bed that evening. I got up the following morning and it was still there. So I went off to school and I thought, well, I hope it's gone when I go home. I opened the back door and straight away I realised that the orb was still there. I could feel the vibration. I went behind the curtain and confirmed the orb was still there. And it stayed for a whole week. It didn't leave until Friday. I came home from school on the Friday, about 4 p.m. I think, and I opened the back door and I realised then that it had gone. I went to look behind the curtain and it gone. So there was no direct communication with it. I now know that was one of the guides that appeared in the bathroom, Ort. It was his pure conscious energy. That's what they taught me over the years. And quite fascinating, really, to have an understanding that they can separate their consciousness from their physical and just travel as pure conscious energy. So very interesting, really. And that probably... I know what happened after that in relation to, I said there was no direct communication, but they gave me the ability to travel outside of my body, out of body traveling. So, and that's a modality of contact that they use. But I wasn't aware of this as a 9 year old. I would just go over to visit my grandparents who lived in Liverpool at the time and about 70 miles away. And I would usually do this on a Sunday. I would just relax, open my mind, fly over there. I would go upstairs into the bedroom. There was a dressing room off the master bedroom. I would sit in the dressing room looking down through the floor. It's just an opaque floor. I could see my grandmother usually in the kitchen and my grandfather usually reading the newspaper or watching the TV on a Sunday. I often wondered when I sat next to that now, they would have seen a conscious energy orb. And that would have been 4 to 6 inches across, slightly vibrating, orangey yellow in colour. So that was my pure conscious energy orb. And I would do that as a child on a regular basis, go and visit them like that. And it wasn't until I got to about 16 or 17, I realised that other people didn't speak about this. So I started asking questions. Was anybody else able to do this? And none of my friends. And I did ask in a third party, I've got a friend that is able to travel outside of his body, and do you know anybody else that can do that? And clearly I couldn't find anybody. We didn't have the internet then, so I couldn't search for it. And I just thought it was just another ability that I had, you know, like the senses that we have, hearing, taste, sight, touch, all those abilities, and out-of-body travel. I'm sure we all have them, we just don't develop them. So quite interesting, really, in relation. They taught me that without giving me any information, being able to do that, and I can still do that to this day. And they also taught me how to travel on the astral plane as well, which is quite fascinating. And really, that's just an extension of out-of-body travel, a slightly different vibration, slightly different location, really. And I remember traveling on quite a few occasions on my own, just enjoying the out-of-body experience and the freedom that it gives you. And then one day I decided that I needed more information. There's obviously a lot more to this than is known. So on one evening I asked my guide, Art, I asked him exactly that. I said, can you give me some more information? I understand there must be a lot more there. And bearing in mind, I'm using the out-of-body travel on a regular basis. I use it in conjunction with my work, you know, going around to see friends to make sure they're at home before I walk around to their property and waste my time. So just use it in everyday events, really. And to me, it was quite normal. Anyway, on this particular evening, I'd say I was about 17, 18, and I went to bed and I relaxed and I opened my mind and said to Art, I know there's more information. Can you come and show me some more? He appeared, he took hold of my hand, and I left my body, and I looked down. I could see my body, it was asleep, and we both left out through the window. We flew around the subdivision, the local area, and then came back in through the window, and I looked down, I could see my body fast asleep, and I went back into my body. So I woke up the following morning thinking that was cool, I enjoyed that. I'm uncertain whether I was dreaming or whether it was real. So the next evening, I decided to do the same again. I went to bed, I relaxed, I opened my mind, I held my hand out and asked Art to come and show me some more. Again, he appeared, he took hold of my hand. I left my body, I looked down, I could see my body fast asleep. And again, we went out through the bedroom window. We went round the subdivision. And then this time we went down into Leeds city centre. We flew around the city centre. I could see the university where I worked at the time, the town hall, the hospital, and some of the buildings that I recognised. And then we came back into the back through the window. I looked down. I could see my body fast asleep. And I went back into my body. So I woke up the following morning, and I thought to myself, that was cool. That was really cool. But I'm still not certain whether I'm dreaming or whether it's real. So, and I'm a little concerned about going out through the window because I was three stories up at that time. I lived in Leeds and I had an apartment at the top of the house there. And I'll say I was three stories up. So I was a bit concerned in case I was sleepwalking or dreaming or I'm walking out of this window. So on the third evening, I did the same again. I asked Art to come and show me some more. I relaxed, opened my mind. He came, he took hold of my hand. I looked down, I could see myself fast asleep. And instead of this time, I asked him, I said, instead of going out through the window, can we go out through the roof? I'm a bit concerned because we're three stories up and it's concrete pavement below. And I'm still not certain whether I'm dreaming or sleepwalking. So we went out through the roof and we traveled all over. And then we came back into the roof. Again, I could see my body asleep and I went back into my body. And that was the beginning of the more traveling outside of my body with Art himself. Art, if I describe who he is, he's a higher conscious being. He's a fifth dimensional. He's Arcturian, and he's a guide and a teacher. And clearly that's what he was doing. He was guiding and teaching me about consciousness itself, which was fascinating. And as I say, I was able to use it on my own. And I've travelled on my own outside of my body since I was nine, since they showed me or gave me that ability. I'm not quite sure which it is, really. And then, but then to do it with Art himself, it was absolutely fascinating to travel with someone else. And it really confirms the ability when you can do it with other people. And I've now met others that do have this ability. I've met many experiencers now have their own direct contact with the higher conscious beings, the ETs, the angels, whatever you want to describe them as. They are higher conscious beings. I think my next encounter would be probably a little bit... I travelled this way with Art for over a two-year period. And then on one occasion, he came to me and he said, "Kevin, I'm going to take you somewhere special. Are you prepared to go with me?" I said, "Yes." So we left through the roof, through the usual manner, and we went up and up and up and up. And I could see the blue earth getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then we took what I describe as a right turn. I believe we went into a higher dimension. And as we entered that dimension, there was a line of 30 people. At the beginning of the line was my deceased father. And he was stood up. He was tall. He was 6 foot. And I'd never seen him standing. He was always in a wheelchair from when I was born. So it was nice to see him. I was greeted. And he said he welcomed me. There was a tremendous feeling of love there with all these people. And my father said to me, "Kevin, I'm going to introduce you to all your family members, going back over 300 years. And as I say, the feeling of love was just tremendous from this group, absolutely tremendous. So I was guided down the line, and the first 15 of the people, they had a physical. I could see them. I could interact with them. And then the second 15 were just pure conscious energy orbs. They were 4 to 6 inches in diameter, orangey, yellow in colour, slightly vibrating. But I could still communicate with them telepathically. They would show me their last incarnations and what they did, and I interacted with them. And then I left. They wanted me to stay with them. And I said on the first occasion, no, I have to go back. I've got things I need to do, and I'm enjoying my physical down there on the third dimension, as it were. So I left, and I went to visit them several times with Art himself. And then I became so confident in visiting them that I could do that on my own. And I did that for a period of about 2 years, probably to 18 to about 20 years old. And the feeling of tremendous love with this family members going back over 300 years was just amazing. But they always wanted me to stay. And I said I couldn't because I had things to do, and I was enjoying, as I said, enjoying my physical. And then one day at work, I decided that I don't think I'll go back and visit them anymore. I know they're there, but I cannot just not go. I'll go this evening and tell them that it'll be my last visit. And that's what I did. That evening, I relaxed, I opened my mind, and I went to visit them. I was greeted in the usual manner. I interacted with them as you would interact with any of your family members here in this 3D dimension that we live in. I told them that I wouldn't be coming back to visit again until my physical expires. They tried to persuade me to stay with them, but I said I had things to do and I was enjoying my physical. So I left, and I've never been back since. But I say I did visit them on a regular basis for over a two-year period. That was quite interesting, really. And I find that the whole thread to all these experiences that they've given me is one of consciousness and one of shared consciousness. So that's it's just fascinating to me. And I remember probably moving on a little bit now, when I was probably in my early 30s, I was a police officer in the UK, and I'd done a quick changeover shift where you come home, you've got 8 hours between the shifts, and you're up again at 5 in the morning to go back to work. And I'd come home at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was always tired after these quick changeovers. And I would usually go to bed for a couple of hours till my wife came home from work. And on this occasion, it was no different. I'd come home, I'd just let my dogs out. I came back in, I went upstairs to go to bed. I got into bed, and the shadow person came into the bedroom. Now, I've seen shadow people in the past, and they usually just hide behind furniture, or they'll let you just see them for a brief second. But this one actually stood right in front of me and beckoned me, which was most unusual. And then he went back out through the bedroom door. I told him that I was tired, to come back later. And he came back a second time, and he beckoned me again, most unusual. So I said, "No, I'm tired, come back later." And then he came back a third time. I thought, "No, he's so persistent, is this guy. He obviously wants to show me something." So I said, right, okay, you obviously want to show me something. So I got out of bed, and he went through the door, and I opened the door and went onto the landing. And on the landing, there was a beam of light, and the beam of light was from the floor to the ceiling. And I would describe this, if you've ever seen the Star Trek movies, where they beam people down onto the planet. It was just like that. So I thought, well, you've gone to all this trouble to get me to this position. I'll step into the beam of light. So I stepped into it and I had an immediate feeling of euphoria, just total euphoria. And this voice said to me, I am your father, you are your father's son. And that's all that was said. The beam lasted a little bit longer, and then the beam disappeared sequentially from the ceiling and the floor and disappeared in the centre of my abdomen. And I'll say that feeling of euphoria was still there. I was no longer tired. I got dressed and I went about the rest of my day. It was quite amazing, really, to find out who this was. I didn't know at that time who it was. I found out later it's another higher conscious being. His name is Ra. He spells it R-A-H. He's an Anunnaki, a very old being, and I've had contact with him on many occasions now since that first interaction. So it's just a continuing education, really, in relation to who they are. But I have been introduced to a group of higher conscious beings now. I know a little bit about each one of them. There are eight. There's Ort and Dee, the original two that materialized in my bathroom. There's Anna, there's Zark, there's Ra himself, who I've just spoken about. Then there's Targ, Chica, and Orla. And all these eight are actual ambassadors for the ETs and represent a group of eight, a council of eight. And I've interacted with them for many years now. And they're actually wanting to meet with our government's representatives at our United Nations, although the United Nations seems reluctant to meet with this group of eight ET ambassadors, but that is what they're wanting to currently do. This has been tried in the past and it has failed, but hopefully this time they may accept them. But it's dependent on a mandate protocol being implemented at the United Nations to actually receive them. Now, I understand that they were wanting to do this on February the 1st this year, but it would appear there's no mandate protocol in place at this time. However, if the government representatives wish to reschedule a date, then I'm sure this group of ATTs would be happy to do that. But at the moment, I'm not getting any response from the United Nations. And I know another experiencer who was an experiencer from the age of four, and he's been given the same date as well, and he's contacted the United Nations in relation to this. But again, he's not receiving any replies either. I'm sure the UN are aware that the current ETs are engaging our planet and engaging individuals such as myself. I know I went to a conference last year in Miami, and there was a survey done there, and I think there was over 4,200 experiencers, all who have contact with ETs at different levels. It might be a simple contact of just seeing a craft two or three times, or to the level that I'm at, to have actual interaction with a group of eight ETs. So all quite fascinating, really. And I believe that this is going to be our future in relation. They want to assist us with our spiritual development, our understanding of consciousness, our understanding of shared consciousness in relation to consciousness is the true life form within our universe. And we share that consciousness with the ETs, with the higher conscious beings, with the angels, with our deceased family members. They're not really deceased. They've just moved to a higher level of consciousness. And we down here, the lower vibrational frequencies, are enjoying the physical side of who we are. But there's the spiritual side, there's the conscious side. And I know that on two or three occasions I've been sat by my pool and they give me a download. And for those who are not sure what a download is, it's a series of information that appears in the brain, shall we say, in a split second. And I remember on this particular occasion, they gave me a download of the quantum unified field theory, which I knew nothing about. I'm just sat by my pool, enjoying myself, relaxing. And they gave me this information and they said that your scientists' understanding of the quantum unified field theory is correct with their weak force, their strong force, their electromagnetic force, and the gravitational force. However, there's a fifth interaction, and that is consciousness itself. And if your scientists include consciousness, within their own quantum unified field theory, then they will have a better understanding, a full understanding of that theory. So on that occasion, I said to them, you know, you've just given me all this information. I knew nothing about this theory, but I really need confirmation of this. Can you show me a craft? And a craft appeared immediately. So I went inside to get my wife to come be a witness. We came outside. I told her about the craft. The craft was still there. And then a second one appeared, and then a third, then a fourth. Seven in total appeared, flew silently over our heads, then moved off at an 80-degree angle, and then disappeared sequentially as they had appeared. So an amazing confirmation in relation to that. So, and then on another occasion, I had another download. Again, I was just sat by my pool, minding my own business, and they gave me information about the theory of everything. And again, I'm just sat there minding my own business, as I say, and they said that your scientist's understanding of the theory of everything is correct. However, there's a measurement problem within the calculations of this, and this measurement problem relates to space, time, and dimension. They said that if your scientists include in their calculations C consciousness, it will solve that management problem. They said their understanding of non-locality, duality, and entanglement is correct. But the non-locality, duality, and entanglement, the entanglement is entanglement of consciousness itself at the quantum level. So I'm sat there again, and I'm thinking, oh, give me all this information. I said, can you show me a craft just to confirm that this is your information you're giving me and it's not just my own imagination? And a craft appeared immediately. My wife didn't see this one. It flashed three times and then disappeared. And I still get downloads to this day, and I always ask for confirmation of any information I'm given. And as I've said earlier, there are many modalities of contact, and I choose different modalities of contact for confirmation. So I'm very comfortable in A, the group of eight ET ambassadors that wish to meet with our United Nations. I'm comfortable with the information they are giving me because it's been a lifelong contact. They've guided me towards, I believe, towards this particular point now in our history. So it'll be fascinating to see what happens. And I say, I know they're wanting to meet on February the 1st this year, but dependent on that mandate protocol being implemented at the UN. But I'm sure they will reschedule if our governments decide in the future that they would like to actually meet with this group and interact with them. They are very concerned at the moment that we are polluting our planet. They're very concerned with the fact that with Fukushima, in relation to the radioactive pollution there, and the pollution now that's gone into the Pacific Ocean. They're very concerned about that. They have technologies that can neutralize this radiation, and they are willing to share that knowledge in relation to helping us clean our planet up, help with the pollution, and then share their technologies so we can have a self-sustaining biosphere without polluting it. This will be our future. But we have to make that first step, and I'm sure it's a huge step to actually meet and greet with these higher conscious beings. And although Orton D look like me and you, very attractive humans, some of the others are Chica himself. He's a mantis being, very intelligent. I know when I first met him, he was a little scary to me, but very intelligent. So there are different species, so it will be a surprise to us. But I think now there's so much information coming about the ETs that people won't be as frightened and they will welcome them. It's quite interesting to see where we will be in 4 or 5 years' time with this, because I've met many other groups now. I was asked to share some of this information with the Disclosure Project, with the Exo Consciousness groups, with the WCETC, the World Coalition for Extraterrestrial Contact. They're a group of leading scientists from China, Russia, Europe, and they're lobbying the United Nations at the moment in relation to a mandate protocol. And then we've got MUFON, which used to be the nuts and bolts of the ETs, but now they're moving towards an understanding of consciousness as well. And then the Edgar Mitchell Foundation, which was another group of individuals who have been contacted directly by the ETs, and then some other individuals that I was asked to contact, which I did, and then the Rama group from Peru, They're very spiritual. They have their own contacts with the ETs. So it's not just me. There are many, many people having these contacts, but we don't tend to speak out about it. I know there's a big Australian network, ACERN. I shared some of this information with them, and they have their own contacts, all these people. So globally, there are many now, and it's time to move forward and have that contact with the higher conscious beings, the ETs. I'm hoping that this year will be a huge step forward for humanity. I did ask them what was important about February the 1st, 2020, and they said that it was February the 2nd that was a significant date, because that would be the first dawn of a new humanity. Clearly, they want to assist us. They want to help us in our development, both technologically and spiritually. And hopefully we will be able to get to this point sometime this year. My main goal now at the moment is trying to get our government's representative to actually meet with this group of 8 ET ambassadors. And they are ambassadors. So it's really our ambassadors at the United Nations need to implement this mandate protocol to be able to receive them. It will be a huge step if we're able to achieve that. And I say it's not just me. There are many lobbying the government. And the governments know that the ETs are here. They're just obviously working out how they're going to implement telling us. I think they are leaking some information slowly now in relation to on the mainstream news media, which is good. And I know it's going to be a huge transition from changing from our current governments to a new government. Still the same people, I'm sure, but there will be different jobs for them to do, I'm sure. You know, once you start mixing with the ETs and they start sharing technology, it will create new technologies for us as well. So quite very interesting times. And I say I'm unimportant in all of this. I'm just a small piece in a very large jigsaw, a cog in a very small cog in a big wheel. So very interesting times. And hopefully the message I've got will resonate with others. And they'll speak out about it as well, their own contact. And as I say, I've met many experiences now, like myself, who have similar experiences, similar understanding. And they've been taught different things, possibly. I say the thread through mine was one of consciousness, shared consciousness. So I'm hoping to continue on and see where this takes me.
Has the ETs tried contacting the UN directly?
That's a good question. I don't know that. I mean, they obviously have the ability to contact who they want. I know in 2010, there was a guy called Stanley Fulham, and he was asked, I just recently learned of this, they gave him the same information. He was a NORAD officer, and he was given the same information. And what happened on the date, I think it was the 15th of October 2010, he said there will be a mass sighting over New York. And in fact, there was a mass sighting over New York on October the 15th, 2010. So they have tried this in the past and failed. They have told me that the people are very often asked, why don't they just all show up and turn up, or turn up on the White House lawn, as it were? And they said they want to be invited here as ambassadors. Then if they just turned up, it would be seen as an invasion. So they don't want that. They want to help us. They want to be invited. So we'll just have to wait and see. So, and I know that the government's now aware, because I've contacted the chairman of Outer Space Affairs Committee in Europe, Nicholas Hedman, in December 2017, and asked him if there was a mandate protocol in place to receive the ETs. And they did reply. They said at this moment in time, there's no mandate protocol to receive the ETs should advanced extraterrestrials wish to contact the United Nations. I thought that was quite poignant in respect that they actually included advanced extraterrestrials in their response to my inquiry. I've now given the UN the date that they're proposing to meet, but I don't see that that's going to happen. And interestingly enough, I had another experience. a lifelong experiencer from the age of four, and he was given the same date just recently. In fact, he phoned me up to give me that date, and he's confirmed with the United Nations as well in Washington. And I contacted both offices, Washington and the UN in Europe. And so they are aware. They're not responding at this moment in time. I'm sure they're trying to work out some policy. And obviously, you know, the ETs, like you say, could contact. They may have direct contact with some experiencers in the UN themselves. And they're waiting to be asked to speak out. I'm not aware of that. I'm probably one of the first to start speaking out about it, and I'm sure others will be given more information. And as I say, we don't know how many people who actually work at the UN or within our own government who are experiencers themselves, and will be able to support this this request, really, and that's what it is. It's a request.
Admittedly, if the ETs did land in London at Parliament, I think most MPs would be asleep or at least arguing amongst themselves.
Probably, yes. I know there's been many recent sightings, Nick, mass sightings, and they did tell me that the mass sightings will continue to become more obvious. There will be a lot more. I know there was one recently with James Gilliland on his ranch. I'm not quite sure where his ranch is, but he had 31 craft appear over his ranch, and he put it he's put it on his website. Quite clearly, you can see the craft. They fire up, and then there was another sighting in North Carolina, I think November last year sometime. Again, a mass sighting caught on film. There was one in California just recently, and a friend of mine who lives in Hong Kong, there was a mass sighting in Hong Kong, and he got that on video. But this information doesn't seem to filter down through the main media. So it's people like, you know, your show that share this information. But that the sighting of the 31 craft on James Gilliland's website is amazing. In fact, he's amazing. Can you hear the excitement in his voice when, I mean, he's seen them over many, many years. But to see 31 fly over and fire up on purpose to attract your attention, I mean, that's just amazing. And there was recently one over the, I think, the White House. And they scrambled four jets to intercept it. The White House was locked down. I think it was November 26th, I think. I'm not certain of that date. And scrambled four jets. When the jets got there, the craft had disappeared. But clearly, they are attracting the attention of the governments. And I say, the governments know that they're here. It's just they've got to find a way around it, a policy to communicate with them if they want to do that. They may not want to do that, but I think it's beneficial to humanity, for our development, and the development of our planet, because as it is being polluted, if the planet dies, then we die. And the ETs, the higher conscious beings, don't want that. So it will be interesting to see. There will probably be more mass sightings coming up to this February the 1st. And then we'll just see what happens on that date. If nothing happens, then we'll continue to move forward. As I say, they tried this in 2010, and there was some success, but they haven't had a landing or anything like that, and that's what they're wanting to do, have physical contact. So I know I was in New York earlier this year, just on a vacation weekend with my wife, and I was staying in Manhattan, and I just read a post by Dr. Joseph Burks. I'm sure he won't mind me mentioning this. And he put a post out about experiences like myself who had a shared dream. And the dream was about craft appearing over major cities globally. And I've had that dream three times in my life. So I was quite interested to hear that other experiencers have had the same dream. I think I made a quick response to Dr. Joseph Burke. And then I put the phone down on the bed and I looked out of the window, and there were two skyscrapers. And between the two skyscrapers, 15 UFOs appeared. They formed a pattern. They disappeared. They reappeared, formed another pattern. And it was directly over the New York Central Park. I could see the top of the trees. And I believe that was a precursor to the reveal. And it was a confirmation of Dr. Joseph Burke's post. And Dr. Joseph Burke is a lifelong experiencer, as I am. And some of his experiences are just absolutely amazing. But because now we are speaking out as a group, as experiences, it adds weight, it adds credence to the information that we're being given. So, yeah, exciting times, Nick, and hopefully we'll move forward, and this year is going to be very interesting.
Now, you've also written a book, Kevin.
Yes, I did write a book. Well, I'll tell you briefly how that came about. I was at home, been to the bathroom at about 4 o'clock in the morning, I think. I was just getting back into bed, and there was a bright light outside the bedroom window, and the light came into the bedroom. It was like a myriad of butterflies, just sparkling white light, and it lit up the whole bedroom. And then Ort and Dee, the two lifelong ET guys I have, materialized at the bottom of the bed. And after pleasantries and introductions, I asked them what was the reason for their visit. And they said, Kevin, we want you to talk about your interactions with us. We want you to write about it. We want you to write a book about it. In fact, you will write two books. And I remember saying to them, I said, I don't mind speaking about my interactions with you, but I'm not a writer. And they said, well, we will continue to guide you. We will continue to teach you. And we will give you information to include in the book, which they did. And then the following morning, I woke up, I told my wife about the visitation, and I started writing the book. And I said, I think I've already mentioned I had it published about 18 months ago now, and it's called Spiritual Consciousness, A Personal Journey. And it outlines many of my contacts that I've had throughout my life. So, and I have just written another chapter. I was asked to write a chapter for Ray Hernandez's book, and he's bringing that out, I think, May this year. And he's bringing the leading scientists together with experiences, and they're all contributing to a new book by Ray Hernandez. So that'll be an exciting book, bringing the scientists and the experiences together. So things are being moved forward. We are being guided by the ETs. And I say there are many of us that are being guided. And because we are now globally coming together and speaking and interacting with one another, it gives us confirmation and support to speak out with confidence. And we'll just we'll see where it takes us. Very interesting times indeed, Nick.
Where can people get more information on this, Kevin? Do you have a website?
I do have a website, but it's only I only really use it for my book itself. It's www.kevinjamesbriggs.com, and there's information there about the book, really. I don't have a website with all this information yet. I may do that. It depends, really. I'm a bit of a technophobe, Nick, so I've got to learn a lot more things in relation to the technologies to be able to get all the information out there. But being on your show, that's great, because I know your show's very popular and people listen to it, and then they'll share the information with other people, and they can get a copy of the book on Amazon if they're interested. You know.
That's great. I'll put a link in the description for everyone that's interested. I really appreciate you coming on today, Kevin. That's fascinating.
Well, no, I've enjoyed speaking with you, Nick. It's without, as I say, without people like yourself, I have this message to get out there now, which is what I'm actually doing. I'm doing a small TV show on Monday, so I've got some more radio shows to do. So I'm really looking forward to getting the information out there, and as I say, meeting with other experiences. But without people like yourself, Nick, I wouldn't be able to get the message out there. So I do appreciate you inviting me on your show. Thank you very much.
Well, that's all we got time for today. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you have had an encounter and would like to come on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. I will be back next Monday. Stay safe and have a great week.
running for my life. Down a dark and lonely road, late at night. And all I see is the late great face of my worst enemy. And that was you.
Leopold, and you're my son.